Leadership Podcast. This is episode number two. In today's episode, we will talk about Lockout Tagout application steps. My name is Dr. David Ayers. Let's go ahead and get started. This is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. I've known a lot of maintenance people, and while they are fantastic, good-hearted people, they just really want to get the job done and have people stop telling them it's broken again, fix it right, you know, all the typical things that these maintenance people have to tolerate from the production floor. And one of the things that that happens often is they feel a lot of pressure. They have to hurry up and get this thing done, get it back up and running. So I have run into a couple of maintenance people who can tell you pretty much the steps for lockout, tagout, but they almost always miss a step or two and kind of act like, well, that's just kind of part of, I got to get this done. I really don't have time to contact the person. I just got to move. So let's just sit down and we'll cover the six steps. You can find that in the OSHA Standard 147, Control of Hazardous Energy. You know, most people know it as the slang term of lockout, tagout. So let's just go ahead and go through these steps here. So if we sit down and we just basically say, what are exactly the six steps? So the six steps to isolate energy. First step, preparation for shutdown. Step two, machine and equipment shutdown. Step three, machine and equipment, the isolation part of shutting down, isolating the equipment. Step four, apply the lockout tagout device. Step five, bleed off any stored energy out there, whether that's springs, compressed air, maybe it's in the form of hydraulics. Get rid of that compressed energy that's out there, that stored energy, I should say. And then finally, step six, you got to go back and verify that you isolated it properly. So I have been to a couple of places, and they really thought they labeled up everything correctly with the panel and the breaker and everything else. And when they went to apply the lockout tagout, they cut the power to what they thought was the power, and another machine went off then. So it's super important right from the get-go to even know that you have everything just labeled up properly. It's been traced out. And of course, a lot of this is really part of when we sit down and commission a tool, certainly not after it's been running a year, two, or three, that somebody says, well, now we need to go back and figure out how we label it, you know, and dot, dot, dot. So let's sit down and break down the six steps here, what we have here. So first step here, we're going to sit down and prepare for shutdown. So we're going to go ahead, we notify the people, we gather the lockout, tagout items, we get our tools, we make sure that we're ready to go so that we really can be as efficient as possible once that we start this thing too. So the very first thing, you've got to notify people in some kind of way, shape, or form, and it has to be some kind of positive communication, eye to eye, face to face, preferably, not something with, you know, I send them a text or I send them an email, because there's a lot of times that as humans we are just completely overwhelmed with email, text, the amount of information that's coming in. Got to come up with a way that you can positively talk right to that person and say, I'm shutting this down. You know, I'll let you know when it's back up, you know, when you kind of go through what you're going to do and all that. A couple of high-tech pieces, high-tech places that I've been to, they're going to have a computer system. And when the computer is down for this equipment, it means that you can't run the machinery, you can't do this, and you can't do that. That doesn't mean that you really did a good job of telling people, you know, you really want to tell them, as opposed to they show up and they just can't make anything work because they just can't run it. But that doesn't isolate the actual power. It just goes ahead and isolates it where a person cannot operate this piece of equipment. Let's go ahead and look at the next step here. So in this one, we're going to go ahead and shut down the equipment in the normal way that we're going to shut down the equipment. Does it mean that if we do the emo, we don't kind of go through all kinds of different things? So just like you would shut it down in a normal day on here. Look at the third step then. So here's where we're going to go back and isolate all of the energy inputs then. So this might be that we've gone ahead and so we've shut off the equipment. Most of the time, of course, we think about power, but when you think about when you're really going to do all the things, it's just not electrical. You could have pneumatic, chemical, hydraulic, springs, compressed air, all kinds of other things could be part of what the machine is. Could be power only, could be a lot of different energy inputs. So you really have to sit down, isolate, and know exactly what you're going to do when you go back and isolate all this. And this is where that many times it really pays off to have a upfront lockout, tagout assessment completely done and ready to go first, as opposed to showing up for the first time and you're trying to figure it out. And maybe it's a person who's pretty good with the equipment, and maybe they're not pretty good with the equipment. So anything that you can do upfront as a safety person to help make this process as safe as you possibly can too. Really, really nice benefit out there then. So, once again, step three, we're going to go ahead there and isolate the equipment. Step four, we're going to go ahead and apply the lockout tagout then. So, and whether we're locking out and tagging out an individual circuit breaker, you might be turning off a cylinder of gas, so we're going to have to go back to the cylinder of gas, shut off the cylinder of gas right out the valve. But that also means that now we now have a charged line between the cylinder of gas and the equipment. That's got to be bled off out there. So there's a lot of different steps out there, just certainly not the ones that we always kind of think about, like, oh, this is going to be easy. We'll go back, we'll do this, we'll do that. If you think about a shutting off the water, say that you're working on equipment and it's going to have some cooling water that runs through it then too. So you're going to have to shut off the input and probably even have to shut off the outlet on it then. So is it going to be is it going to go out through gravity? Is it going to go out through force? You just don't really know. Is there going to be like that little bit of a back feed that comes in, on the water side? So you have to look at how that you're going to completely go back, isolate the energy, and then of course apply that lockout tagout device. And they come in all shapes and sizes and colors. And I'll always say do everything you can to have a physical lock on there. I do know that there's a lot of older places out there where they had never even dreamt of lockout tagout before this place was built and put online, and lockout tagout is still relatively a new form of a standard out there. It doesn't mean that it wasn't practiced, but when you kind of think about a standard from OSHA, still relatively new on the new side. So it's about a 1995, edition. So sometimes you really do have to use a tag. I'll say as you go back and retrofit places, and of course we're gutting out old factories and putting in new stuff and all that, take every opportunity possible in the design phase to sit down and figure out, not you. It would be awesome if it was only the safety person, but typically we're consulted almost at the very end when it comes to how we're going to lay out the equipment, what's going to be run from point A to point B. Sometimes they don't have a single branch that's going to run something like nitrogen or something else right over to the equipment. So you may have to, when you go back to isolate the branch, you are now isolating two or three pieces of equipment. So you really have to understand just exactly how things are flowing and how things are really going out there. So let's look at the fifth step then, when we talk about bleeding off this equipment, and As anybody who knows me can tell, I mean, I'm really big into you got to go back and bleed off all this. I know that there's a lot of people who think if I just cut the power, you literally can't make the air come on, you can't make other things come on, but you got to go back and worry about the springs, hydraulic system, the compressed air, and all that. There's many places that something heavy is only being held up by the power or the hydraulic or something. So you may have to put in some kind of a block or a brace on it then, because when you cut that power, there's nothing that's stopping that heavy piece from coming down. And so some things we have to plan for. Say that for the sake of argument that we were going to work on the hydraulic system, something like a front end loader. When you kind of think about the bucket and it's going to scoop up the rocks and sand and aggregate concrete places and other things, you know. So the hydraulics is making the bucket move. It's helping out in that fashion. Obviously, if you go ahead and cut the hydraulics, then you know the front shovel and the front arm are going to come down to the ground. So there are times that we have to really think about our actions as we're going back and doing these steps. And then finally, the last step then, when we sit down, we have to go back and actually verify that we've really done everything that we possibly can to isolate the energy that's coming in. So afterwards, we have to go back, and of course, we obviously try and start it. You know, we would use a voltmeter. We would do just everything that we could to kind of say, all right, I'm trying to do everything I can to make the energy come on, to make this thing run. And then at the very end, when you can really positively identify that everything's isolated, that's when you can then say, ah, I am now ready to go. I can go do the lockout, tag out. I can get this thing done. I can get it fixed, you know, and not part of the scope of this podcast. But then go back and then how do I do it in like reverse, get this equipment back up and running and ready to go in a state that I took it from as a maintenance person, and then give it back to production and say it's done and ready to go. So that's going to be episode two, lockout tag out application procedures. So thank you so much for joining me on the Occupational Safety Leadership Podcast. I will be kicking out these very short episodes as I'm gathering guests and getting ready to put even more content out there. Please do everything you can to share this with your friends and colleagues. Safety is one of those things that we are not focused on profit margin. We're not worried about that. We care if a competitor is knowing that we're going to be safe and how that we're doing stuff, because anybody who got in safety is doing it for the people. They're certainly not doing it for the money. So, once again, episode two. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Dr. David Ayers, and have a safe day.